Fallout, Scary Movie 6, Deadpool 3 bucket, Monopoly movie, Peacemaker Season 2. We have a lot to unpack for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. And I can't wait to talk to all of you for it here. But you know what comes up first?
Welcome to the Light, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lights, Camera, Rant. As always, thank you very much for anyone who's listening, anyone who's coming past, or watching us. It doesn't really matter. Thank you so much for just being here. And look, this week's been a little bit wild between Fallout, X-Men, not to mention CinemaCon also happened this week. I feel like every day I've opened my Instagram or checked the news, it's been bang. It's been news, poster, trailer, news, poster, trailer. And not to mention, just the other week, we got the Joker trailer, which I've got to talk about because I've got a lot of qualms about that. And I have to get into it. But also like to say thank you very much to Lavender for coming past on the YouTube. Appreciate it, man, if you're driving past. Always a good time. But I would like to say in the past week, we did get a very special invite to go see the Back to Black Amy Winehouse biopic movie. We saw that last Thursday, especially advanced screening. So stay tuned. We will be having a review for that coming up very soon. It's not a movie I usually go see, but it was actually very decent. But there was a couple of things I was a bit like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this because this is, that's not what I thought it would turn out to be, but still kind of sad, but still kind of good at the same time. So watch out for the review. And just last week, we did a brand new rant report where we just did an episode all about the news. And we also, if you haven't, we deep dived on the final of Invincible Season 2 with the Star Wars podcast. So please go check that. It's always a good time for having him on the show. But without further delay, let's dive in to everything that we got this week. Yes, I have seen Godzilla. It was good. Very little on the plot details, but at the same time, you don't go in there to go see the plot. Massive, massive monster movie. You will love it if you haven't seen it. It's a good popcorn Saturday night flick movie that if your expectations go a little bit low, doesn't matter. Just the monsters bashing it up, smash it out of the park. But let's get into the news straight off the bat. We got our first look at Captain America, The Brave New World, behind the scenes for the new Entertainment Weekly magazine that will be dropping very soon, which will give us all the behind the scenes, little snippet of the upcoming next Marvel project that will be coming out next year, where we get to see Anthony Mackie take the lead role in playing the brand new Captain America and Harrison Ford jumping in as Thunderbolt Ross for his very first time in the role. And apparently the clip that got shown at CinemaCon very briefly apparently said thanks to Marvel Studios because they showed this. They showed Deadpool 3 clip, which we'll also dive into. But apparently he's talking about, I need you, Captain America, I need you to rebuild the Avengers, which I feel like is something that's been needing to happen for a very long time. And I wasn't expecting Sam to build the Avengers. I don't know why. I had something in the back of my mind, and I thought that Doctor Strange would be rebuilding the universe because of the portals. He could just go straight to one person, pick them up, go straight to another person, pick them up. He would be the kind of the person to rebuild the Avengers, but at the same time, it makes more sense if it is Sam being Captain America getting all together. Now, this behind-the-scenes photo, we haven't seen a full photo, but it looks to be a brand-new Captain America outfit that's not less like what we saw in Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but more so in line with Captain America Winter Soldier, with Steve's stealth suit. That's kind of what it looks like from behind the scenes photo. And Harrison Ford giving his normal look, his very stern look that we've seen multiple different times in multiple different movies that we've seen. So I can't wait until this magazine comes out and we find out a lot more about this movie, because originally it was meant to come out this year. It got delayed, so it got pushed back just like everything else. It got pushed back. And that's why we only have Deadpool 3 coming out this year. Also, Peacemaker fans, you should be very happy. Peacemaker Season 2 has started filming, which we saw on James Gunn's Instagram pic he posted, where he showed like a reflection photo of him right behind John Cena on wearing his helmet. That's finally kicked off. So he has wrapped up filming and partially post-production for Superman. Now, Superman Legacy, now it's just called Superman. He has wrapped it up. So he's right on to Season 2 of Peacemaker, which, as I've mentioned previously, it is a weird spot that Peacemaker Season 2 is going to sit into. So it is a sequel to Season 1. It is a slight reboot, and it will be part of the brand new James Gunn era, but Season 1 doesn't count into the old... doesn't come in at all. It's all brand new. So it's really going to be interesting to see how this all situated, how this all is going to look, and how it's going to, yeah. I'm very curious to see how he's going to knuckle this. But Peacemaker fans, you'll be happy to know. So we should get to see some behind the scenes photos. If it started filming right now, I would say probably this time next year, we should definitely have a trailer by this time next year. But I'd say October, we'll get Season 2 dropping. I certainly hope so. It would definitely be past Superman Legacy. It will not be coming out before that at all. So I'm really excited for that, especially Peacemaker Season 2. Season 1 was really good, and I'm pumped for that. Peacemaker's Earnest. Now, I was shocked about this. I was like, really? Like, this is good. Paramount is currently going to be working on a brand new Scream 6 movie. That's right. Scream is going to be coming back after 12, 13 years. It will be coming back. That's right. After 13 years, the iconic spoof movie, Scary Movie, will be finally making its return after so long. And it's funny because, like, that movie started off such a big trend. You saw Scary Movie, you saw Epic Movie, you saw Date Movie. There was just so many that started this huge trend. It all started coming out, and it just kept going. And then eventually it just died off. They were done. And you never saw any again at all. And that was the end of it. And then it's been laying dormant for this entire time, but we finally got a brand new show. And I'm so excited for this. But I would love to know if everyone's going to, like, do you want to see a brand new scary movie? I guess it would be taken from like Omen. It'd be also be taken from, Five Nights at Freddy would be one. What's another one would be? I'm trying to think. Five Nights at Freddy. Maybe Immaculate. I really hope it's not Immaculate. That was, I hope it's not going to be Immaculate. Really hope. Because that was just awful. I got Ben on Facebook. We just watched Fallout Episode 1. Loved it. Fanboying for all the Easter eggs and from the games. We're going to dive into that, man. The whole little story about the show is just that Fallout breaks that curse, that video game curse, and we need to get into that, but we will. And The whole thing of Fallout. But yes, Scary Movie 6 is currently on its way, and it's going to be ready for 2025. This will be dropping. Now, this Well, we did get a teaser for this at the end of the last Transformers movie, Beast Wars, or Rise of the Beast, sorry, that we're going to be getting a Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover movie that will be coming. It is currently in development at Paramount. Does have a release date? No, but it is on the way. It's been teased and asked for many, many times. There's no particular details whether or not this will be in the same Transformers Rise of the Beast universe. Will this be in the same G.I. Joe as Channing Tatum? There's very little details right now, but it is currently on the way. If it's currently in development right now, I would say, end of 2025, 2026. We'll see this coming. Not to mention, they also showed a brand new trailer for the brand new Transformers 1 animated movie that we'll be dropping at the end of this year, which I'm still trying to fathom the fact that Optimus Prime is going to be voiced by Chris Hemsworth. I'm like, there's just so many. I just don't know how it's going to sound. It's like, hey, automates, roll out. Like, it's just going to be weird. I also like to say very, very much hi to Cal on YouTube. Thanks for going past, man. Always an absolute pleasure. And if you haven't already, definitely go check out his channel. I'll put a link in the bio. This man's always cooking. So, once upon a time, a TV show event happened, and it was called Heroes. And everyone was talking about Heroes. Everyone would always, every show, every episode, you're glued to your TV. It was one of those shows. It was always hyped on the next episode of Heroes. And Heroes ran its course originally. First season was great. Season two was great. And then just started dropping off. And then they did a reboot in the same universe, which didn't go too well. And now we're getting a third attempt at re-kicking this show off, a reboot called Heroes Eclipse. It is coming. It is, I'll say 2025 again, 2026, but a brand new TV show of Heroes is coming out. And Heroes was really good, especially that first season, which is really good. And I still remember the slogan, save the cheerleader. Save the cheerleader, save the world. And that was so good. And that's actually right, Cal. I forgot about that. The reason Heroes, like many, 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 many other TV shows at the time, it struggled with was the writer's strike. So if you go watching Heroes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you can just see that decline go right down, and you can tell when that writer's strike kicked in. Like, there's so many shows that that's happened to. And it's funny how I said it, because look what happened last year. We're still feeling the effects of that massive actors and writers strike, of why partially all the delays that we're getting is because of that. So Heroes did suffer with that, but going back and watching those first couple of seasons is fantastic. The whole cast did a great job. People's powers, people who didn't have powers, who came back. Watch out for the man with the glasses. Like, it was just peak television. Almost like what Lost was. If anyone remembers Lost, first couple of seasons Lost, boom. Fantastic television. Towards the end, absolutely rubbish. Still can't believe there was actually a board game of that show. And I remember thinking, like, what? What the hell? Yeah, anyway. They should bring back Spock and Hayden. Yeah, they should. From what I was reading, they didn't say it was a full set sequel or it was not going to be. I didn't see anything about that. Look, I hope it's set in the same universe, because it does say that it's called the Eclipse and new heroes will be emerging. If that's in the same universe, bingo. I think that would probably be the best way for them to really kick this off, if it's in the same universe and we see these iconic characters back. But God, Heroes is starting. Heroes is, whoa, it's getting up there now. Really getting up there now. How old that show is. Now, last year, they was announced that there will be a Last Ronin video game that will be coming in the same style of God of War. Now, this game will be based on the Last Ronin comic of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. which basically all of them are dead except for one. It's a very brutal story. The comic is highly recommended, and there was going to be a video game. But now, Heroes. I really don't know anyone who got into the reboot. I didn't watch it. A lot of my friends, we didn't watch it. It kind of just popped up and flew by. And everyone I spoke to that did watch it just didn't like it at all. Yeah, I know. We're getting this movie. We're getting this movie. So, as mentioned, last year they announced the video game's coming, and now Paramount have announced that they will be making a brand new movie called The Last Rodent. So it will be live action. It will be R-rated, and it's coming. No release date at this stage. We're still looking at the, as mentioned, a lot of these announcements, no release dates, just confirmation it's currently in development. So again, 2026. And there was no comment whether or not this would be CGI. Costumes or CGI of the turtles. So there was no confirmation of that. They just said it's going to be live action. But, you know, I think this, seeing this in a live action and being R-rated and brutal with this game coming out, it's going to print money. Yes, there's going to be limited audience, but it's going to print money one way or another. It's going to have a Logan Spider-Verse effect. Yeah, it will. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be visually stunning. And it's going to be something that we're constantly going to be talking about for a while. And I really hope that either the game and the movie both reflect that, and both are really strong. But yes, Turtles fans, we have that, and it is coming. Also, what's coming back? That was really lame. I know. I'm sorry. Does anyone remember the Mummy? Brendan Fraser? Well, guess what? That's coming back in theaters at the end of this month, April 26th. The Mummy is returning to theaters for its 25th anniversary. As soon as I saw this poster and saw this announcement, I was like, yes, this movie, it was a movie that was so funny. It was peak Brendan Fraser. It's an adventure movie. It's horror. It's scary. And every time I still watch it, and I see those little bugs that get underneath the skin and they go all bubbling. Like, ugh. It still makes my skin crawl. And The Mummy 2 was fantastic. Besides the god-awful, what was the Rock CGI? Bill, have I talked about? We're covering a little couple of pop culture news, and we're getting into the fallout. But stick around, man. We haven't got much longer to go. But yeah, The Mummy's back. Biggest question is, will you be going to see this again? Do you want to see on the big screen? I obviously didn't see it on the big screen when it came out because I was too young. But it's going back. Hopefully. I don't know if any of my theaters near me is going to watch it, but I really want to go see it in the theaters. Bill, which again, thanks, Bill, for coming past on YouTube. Really appreciate it. Fallout series was fantastic. Dude, I can't stress that enough. 110 freaking percent, and we're going to get into that. Cal, not sure this movie released is a test to see if the fans will support a future sequel. Well, Brendan said he's up for it, but I don't know if his body's up for it, The Mummy 4. But I know no one asked for Tom Cruise's Mummy movie. No one asked for it, and it killed the dark universe that was meant to happen. That's not happening. I think the only dark universe we're getting is Universal's making a brand new theme park section that's going to be all that. Cal, I did see The Mummy 2 on the big screen. See, would you want to go see a back-to-back feature of The Mummy 1 and Mummy 2? You don't need to go see The Mummy 3. Like, it's not bad, but it's not as good as what the rest could be. So, also, Margot Robbie is keeping busy. So, she's got a production company called Lucky Charms. Now, we reported this not too long ago, that she'll be producing a brand new The Sims movie. Now, she's also going to be producing a brand new movie about Monopoly. Now, this is the thing I find really interesting, is that which I'm going to mention this a bit in my Fallout review, is that this is the next wave. This is the next wave. Cowboys arrived in cinemas. It peaked and it blew out. Right now, we've had superhero films that technically have the peaked and currently on the other side, I would say, at the almost the blowout stage. Where video game, movies, and TV shows, this is what's going to take over Hollywood. This is what's going to be the big thing. Bill, what did you say? Did you talk about the R-rated TV and TV movie that was mentioned? Yes, I did. I am so excited for that. And not only are we going to be getting the movie, we're also getting the game. So the game got announced last year, and we're going to be getting the movie. So we're going to be getting both all together for it. So it's a good time to be a, what did you send me? It's going to be a great time to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans. But a Monopoly movie? Like, what are you, weird? I don't understand how you're going to pass and go. Are you going to be trapped? Are you going to be trapped in the game? Like, how's it going to work out? Anyway, I don't know what's... You tell me, what's weirder, a Sims movie or the Monopoly movie? Also coming on the 18th, yes, the Transformers 1 animated movie. Well, we did mention about this earlier. I really find it weird that Chris Hemsworth is going to be voicing Optimus Prime. Yeah, mates. Even though it's my culture, an Aussie playing Optimus Prime is just going to be weird. I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, even though he's at so many different times, yes, there's other people who have done the voice of Optimus Prime, but look, just get Peter Cullen back. Just get him to do it. No one's going to complain. Everyone's going to love it. No one's going to be disappointed. And yes, Bill, we also did cover Transformers. G.I. Joe live action movie is on the way. All right, let's talk about it, guys. Let's talk about the Joker trailer. It came out Monday or Tuesday last week. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I watched the trailer and I wasn't hyped. I watched it and I was like, good seeing Joker back, seeing Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn, and the music, you could tell the music, the music was coming, but I don't know. I watched it and I was just a bit like, I was like, okay. But it just didn't hype me like how the first trailer did. I remember when I watched the first trailer of The Joker, and I was like, okay, this is cool, it's dark, it's gritty, let's get into this, a different setting. But I didn't get the same vibe watching The Joker 2 trailer. Maybe I need to see The Joker 2 trailer 2. Maybe it will help if I do watch that. But yeah, it just didn't overly hype me watching it. Like, I'm going to watch it. You've got my ticket, you've got my vote. Something didn't click with me with it. Cal, didn't think Chris Pratt would work for Mario, but we'll see. That's true. I was one of those people that I was like, Chris Pratt as Mario, this sounds like a big pile of horseshit. And after that movie, I'm pretty sure my review was straight up saying I was totally wrong. Chris Pratt nailed it. Also, Cal, first Joker movie was really good, but overhyped. I gotta say, the trailer got me really interested and it looks awesome. It's got me my curiosity, but it's not a trailer that I watched and I was like, wow, like, let's go. Like, Deadpool 3 trailer, that got me hyped. Dune 2 trailer, got me hyped. X-Men 97 trailer, got me hyped. Ghostbusters trailer, got me hyped. But whether or not it was good, any good, is a different kettle of fish altogether. Sorry, completely different. But that's the thing. This sequel is something that, like, a lot of people I know have said, oh, I really want to see a sequel, but at the same time, I was one of those people who was like, I don't need it. This movie doesn't need a sequel. How the first one was finished off, I didn't need to dive back into this world, but we are getting it. It's coming out in October. Again, it's still going to have that MAR rating. And now I did report that there will be partial full frontal nudity. So you will get to see the Joker's junk, apparently. I assume it's the Joker's junk that we might get. I'm really not Lady Gaga. Not her junk. But anyway, you know what I mean. All right, guys, I need to talk about this. We need to talk about X-Men 97. Now, I haven't been reviewing X-Men 97 the last few episodes. We are going to be reviewing it at the very end of the season finale, and we have a very special guest for the show where we're going to be diving into the entire season all together. But God, freaking damn it. That last episode of X-Men 97 was absolutely brutal. That was just smack bang straight in the mouth, and I can't. That was just such a roller coaster of emotions. It's like, you know, welcome to Genosha, welcome seeing all these characters, yeah, and then just downhill. Spoilers for everybody, it goes just downhill to everyone flat out Infinity War. That was Infinity War. You get the end of it and you're like, I can't. What? Oh my God. You just shit. Oh, God damn. That's how I felt like watching that. I was just watching it. I just couldn't fathom what was going on. Just all these characters, you know, all the characters came in. Everyone who died, Rogue going nuts, Magneto giving insane lines when she's, what was the line? The UN doesn't find a very approval of a terrorist becoming a leader. And Magneto turns around and goes, but so many leaders are terrorists. I'm like, God damn. Cal, that Sentinel did to Gambit what The Rock is going to do with Cody Rhodes. Yeah, so, but yeah, well, The Rock is going to, yeah, oh, but I'm glad Cody Rhodes won, and I hope Cody Rhodes beats The Rock. I'm all for Cody Rhodes. I think it's his time. Yes, he does seem like a little bit of a poster boy a couple of times where I'm like, yeah, get it. And when he won, I know this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but when Cody Rhodes won the championship at WrestleMania the other week, I was like, yes, but I was almost like, about freaking time, because I don't have to keep hearing that stupid damn line saying, finish your story, kid, finish your story, even though it's taken a really long time and two companies to do it. But you finish your story, you do it, you're fine. Speaking of The Rock, will he appear in, now, there is no, from the information we got about Transformers and G.I. Joe, that, as mentioned earlier, there's no information whether or not it's going to be set in the Rock universe, Channing Tatum universe. Is it going to be a sequel, Transformers Rise of the Beast? It just says that it is currently in the works. If they can marry up the two together, it would be awesome. And it would be fantastic. Let the hashtag tribal chief finish his story. What does he's got nothing to finish. He just had the longest run. And yes, we were talking about the fact that he should have passed Hulk Hogan's record, but he just had a really long run. It was nothing. And not to mention, he also broke Hulk Hogan's other record for the main events. I'm pretty sure. Did he tie? It doesn't matter if he tied or he broke the record. He's still going to main event a couple more WrestleManias before he retires. So he's well going to do it all together and finish it. Cal, I hate that line. It makes no sense. So he finished it. So tell him to retire. Hashtag Cody Rhodes retire. But yeah, how are we going to wrestling from X-Men 97? X-Men 97, episode 5. Remember it. Gambit is the MVP. That was such a killer scene. Oh, that was no pun intended. Killer scene. R.I.P. Poor Gambit. And Rogue seeing her go nuts. This show is fire. You cannot sleep on this show. I know there's plenty of people going out going, oh, the Marvel is dead. You know, it's dead after Endgame. Like, shit after She-Hulk. Shut the and just watch X-Men 97. Not to mention the people that are like, oh, X-Men's woke. X-Men's always been woke. The whole point of X-Men is about different people and about different, about racial people, hate speech, people hating them. It's X-Men's always been like that. And X-Men 97 is just still showing the fantastic of what the comic books are like. Go read an X-Men comic and come back to me. But you can't sleep on this show. And one of the directors and producers did say the next three episodes are going to be absolute fire. So get ready for that. Bill, speaking of wrestling, seeing a suplex in Godzilla and Jurassic Kong was cool. Yes, I did. Like, I was a little bit of a wrestling fan myself. Was like, hey, The Rock vs. Roman been in the making for 9 years, and they refused to let it happen. The Rock vs. Roman is still going to happen. It's still going to happen. Give another 2 to 3 years, it's going to happen. It's a money making match. It's going to happen one way or another. Also, Cal, this is not Marvel. This is for them, for Fox Kids and Nia's babies. That's right. It is. It is for the Nia's kids, and we're loving it. And I'm absolutely loving it. And I'm going back and rewatching the original show again. Didn't remember there was 5 seasons of it. But anyway, still getting it up. Don't get more social than X-Men shows you. People just... That's right. Dude, you couldn't be more right. Like, people just come up with crap about X-Men, like, just trying to say, oh, yeah, it's woke, it's all this crap. I'm like, what are you on about? You just have these people who say these things that you don't even know the history, you don't know the context, you don't know anything, and you're just trying to say this just to get a few likes and tweets on your Instagram or your Twitter. You know, do you know what Magneto's real name is? Do you know what Wolverine's real name is? Do you know what X-Men actually stands for? Oh, I do like, I always like the conversations like, oh, you know, X-Men. You know, X-Men's name should really change because it says X-Men. It should be more X-Team or more exclusive. I'm like, no, you don't need to change the name. It doesn't need more inclusive. X-Men is the team. It's not just saying all men, it's X-Men. And that's the whole point of it. Thanks to my X-Men. It's a branding. It's a name of a team. You can't just do that. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen one single episode or one co where they probably made a joke about it, but not about the team saying, oh, women complaining about, oh, why it's called X-Men, not X-Men. Anyway, you know, I'm just ranting on. That's the whole point of this show anyway. Cal, so we'll wait till The Rock is 70 to have the match. Yep, we'll have to wait until The Rock is 70 to actually verse Roman. Bill, if Deadpool 3 touches on this X-Men 2, it'll be funny. I think they will. This is what I've been preaching, is the X-Men TV show, anything's on the table. Anything's on the table with X-Men, so I can't cross anything. Also, Bill, does anyone watch Invincible? You've come to the right place, man. I absolutely love Invincible. At our last week's episode, episode 150, we deep dive on Invincible Season 2's final whole thing, our episode. We wrap the whole thing up. I can't wait to get Season 3. Actually, speaking of Invincible, there was a post the other day that Invincible Season 3's all voice acting is finished. That is done. So I have my fingers crossed that we will get at least half of Season 3 at the end of this year, just like how we did with X-Men, Invincible Season 3 Season 2 last year, back in November. So I really do hope we get that, because they have preached the gaps between seasons will be less, and they're going to have, you will have a new episodes of Invincible for all the years to come. So you'll still be having to do that. It still could be coming out. Cal, if they were confabs, they would realize 77 comics have always been political or social. Preach, man. Preach. But, you know, sometimes I do preach, but sometimes people just really don't understand it. But X-Men 97, absolute fire. this episode is an absolute gut-wrencher, and so you need to watch it. And I'd love to know what everyone thinks of the show. Tell me. Let's chat X-Men. I've joined Threads again. I was using Threads. I got off it. I'm back on Threads, so I'm always up for a chat on that. I got rid of Threads because, like, oh, this is just Twitter to rock off. And then I thought, you know, let's dive in. Let's not be that kind of person. So I'm going to get right back into that. Bill, thank you. Also, Bill, thanks for sticking around for as long as you have. Really appreciate it. Same with Cal. Thank you again. Speaking of Invincible, the Transformers, Optimus Prime, Peter voice. Yes, he did. And every time I hear Peter Cullen's voice, I just feel like him saying, roll out, Viltrumites, roll out. But yes, it is. The voice cast for Invincible is insane. Not to mention, Cecil, the guy who voices Cecil, Walton, he's actually in Fallout and he plays the ghoul. As soon as I started seeing him in Fallout, I'm like, come on, just sound like Mark, you're not like your dad. But tell me about X-Men. All right. Let's get into Fallout, ladies and gentlemen. Fallout. The latest video game adaption. And once again, I'm going to say this. Once again, Halo comes out. Mid-tier. Season 1. Like, this is video game adaption. It's a bit rough. It's a bit sketchy. Right? It sits there. And then the next video game TV show adaption we get... we get The Last of Us. Peak. Fantastic. Great. Nails it. We can't wait to get season 2. We get season 2 of Halo. Again, it's a little bit rough. It's a little bit not, you know, it's a bit up and down, still a bit average. Boom. We get Fallout TV show, another video game adaption, and nails it out of the park. So I'm sorry, but Halo is just showing the big void that we're getting with this. Another video game adaption that's really good is Twisted Metal, which I can't wait until we get season 2 of that, because that is on the way. Now, the Fallout TV show was first announced in July 2020. So it's taken this long to finally get up to that point. Mr. Mark By Words, thanks for coming past on YouTube. Always appreciate this lovely bastard. If you haven't already, definitely go check out his channel. He streams every Tuesdays and Thursdays, always brand new games. And he came in actually at a perfect time because he will be streaming Fallout 4, not Fallout 76, because that is a giant pile of shit. But he will be going to be watching streaming Fallout. So definitely go jump on his channel, click that like and subscribe button if you haven't already here as well. It's always a good time with him. He also streams in the nude, so get ready for that. But Fallout, yeah, go back to Fallout. So Amazon bought the TV rights for Amazon back in 2020. And I'm really glad the fact that they bought it because it's got Amazon money behind it. Mark, definitely might be on the cards. Okay. Definitely might be on the cards that you're going to be streaming nude or the fact you're going to be watching Fallout. Please clarify. Bill. Spoilers, I love that Mr. Handy Snitted Robot, even the voice actor appears in the episode. That ending, yes, we're going to talk about that ending. And you did remind me, Bill, I should say this. Spoilers everywhere. So if someone does hate me and I'm spoiling it, boo you, because the entire show was dropped. The all eight episodes was dropped. But sorry, I'm so glad Amazon bought the rights to this. This is Amazon money behind it. And I was putting it down. I was like, oh, well, I'll watch, you know, we'll review Fallout every single week and doing the eight episodes. And then they changed on me going, oh, we're dropping all eight episodes. So I was up to 2 o'clock last night watching all the episodes, trying to catch up and see and get ready for this review today. Mr. Mark My Words, I'll see myself out as I still want to see this. Latest Bros, hashtag Mr. Rant. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Go watch it. So we got the trailer for it. The trailer looked good. We looked really good for Fallout. And again, it's even though we have got some fantastic video game adaptions of different TV, of different video games, Sonic, you know, Halo, Last of Us, Twisted Metal, and we're beginning them, and it's still, we still have that video game curse that's lingering on behind these video games. And for anyone who doesn't know what the video game curse is, it's the curse that every time something has been adapted going to the big screen or small screen, it's usually failed, gone terribly, and it's doomed the franchise. Yeah, look at Doom, look at Mario. This Mario, the old movie, it's doomed the franchise. And it's always happened. So when because of this curse, it's lingered for every single project. But Fallout nails it. Fallout, there is no curse. This just smashed it out of the park altogether. Bill on YouTube, people are saying it's even better than The Last of Us TV show. Oh, is Fallout better than The Last of Us TV show? Oh, now that is a hot topic to think of. I am going to go with yes, it is. Fallout TV show is better than The Last of Us. But again, saying it is better, the bridge of quality is still right up. The quality is impeccable. And because Amazon has bought the rights to Fallout, is the same thing, the reason why I'm so glad that Amazon has bought their studio rights for the God of War TV show. Because Amazon throws the money at it. No cheap corners, no cheap CGI. It is thrown at this. And it is well returned that we get this. And you look at The Boys, you look at Gen V, you look at this. If you like The Boys, and if you like The Last of Us, if you like The Boys, if you like The Last of Us, smash that together and you get Fallout. You get some weird people with some weird powers. You get bloody everywhere. There is so much blood. There is so much blood. This is brutal as anything. Episodes go from MA to R, up and down. There's some weird shit that goes on this. It is such a faithful adaptation to the video games. It's not funny. And I saw someone mention, I saw a YouTube video that was like, there was like 280 references to the video game for the entire series. And I'm like, good Lord, God damn. There's a lot of references in this. And a big thing I should mention when we go into this is that you don't, Maddie on the Facebook, there was so much blood. I know. We were watching it, and my partner Maddie, she's like watching it. She saw it, like, she's like, what the hell are you watching? I'm like, it's about a post-apocalyptic universe where people try and kill each other. She's like, there's beheading, there's blood everywhere. What could this? I'm like, it's really good. It's really good. But she's also not a fan of The Boys, so that tells you. Which is in more body. But the big thing I need to kind of stress about this for you, ladies and gentlemen, is that you don't need to play the video games to understand the show. It does a great way of telling you everything. It's great if you're keeping you informed, the story, all the details. So it keeps you well informed through the whole thing. So you're not too placed out of going, oh, yeah, I don't understand. This is too depth in reference. That you don't have that at all. Maddie on Facebook, speaking with someone who loves movies, it's completely the opposite. Also, The Boys don't even lol. You love The Boys. It's a great TV show, and I can't wait until... Don't worry, babe. New season of The Boys coming in June, so we'll be watching that. Sorry, excuse me. So, with this TV, as mentioned, that they do a fantastic job of explaining everything, the vaults, the different fractions, what has happened in the universe, that you don't need to reference the game. The game is almost just a bonus in saying that if you know all the information about the games and all the background story, it's just a bonus going into this TV show, but you don't really need it. It's the same thing with The Last of Us did. Is again, the video game is the bonus. It's not the other way around, which sometimes can happen. But with Halo, it's the video game is actually not the bonus at all. It's having the prior knowledge about the video games actually does nothing for you in Halo Season 1 and Season 2. We'll find that in Season 3, I hope. So 8 episodes, about essentially 45 minutes to an hour for every single episode. And it is action. It is nightmarish. It's bloody. It's mystery. It's all rolled into one. Now, the cast list does have some very big names and very small names. But our main character is Ella Purnell, who plays Lucy, who does a great job in helping you be innocent in this world, also being outside, getting introduced into the wasteland. And while you're watching it, I found myself feeling sorry for her all the time. I was like, oh, you're going to that mess. This has happened to you. You've been partially shot. You've had to drink radioactive water. You've had to kill some really big bugs. You've also had your finger chopped off. Now, bear with me. You have your finger chopped off and reattached by a robot, which then finds a finger out of the drawer that looks like it's been dead for a very, very long time. Maddie, you sound like those two European guys. There was so much blood. You said it, friend. There is so much blood in this. But Lucy tells your exposition at the very start about what she does, explains what everyone does in the vault, how everyone works as a team, it's family, and that they're in this vault because they're surviving the nuclear fallout. Now, not only is there this Vault 33, but there's Vault 31 and 32 that work together. Now, there is over 100 vaults in America with very, very different which you do find out, spoilers, very different situation with everyone. So instead of just, hey, everyone goes in there, go live your lives. No, it's more so that social experiments happen in every single one. So, for example, this vault has 100 people, 99 men, 1 woman, or the reverse, or they've been partially, it's all scientists, it's all messed up stuff. But you find out later on, it's because corporations are greedy and Vault-Tec and what they want to do in the history. So it's in the aesthetic of the show, it's keeping with the fallout that it's like 60s or 60s, 70s inspired future, gritty tech, but that same glorious, that nuclear family tech, which is really good, family vibe you get to see. So we love the blend. But the thing is, when you're watching the show, nothing seems out of place. It's like, oh, that really wouldn't happen. Oh, that wouldn't happen. Like, it's really blends really well as a show. And the very first episode is just smack you in the mouth that you have Lucy, who shows you what's going on in this vault, and then she's going to get married. The Vault 2 opens. Everyone comes in. Obviously, they go to get together. You find out about some inbreeding, as I know, bringing cousins stuff that happens because there's not so many in there. And it turns into an absolute bloodbath, which kicks off this story altogether because they're outsiders. They're from the wasteland. And it's like, how did you get in? They come in, they steal, they kill like half the vault dwellers, like that. And there's another half to them, of course. And they steal Lucy's dad, Hank, who's played by Carl McLennan, which we've known from Desperate Housewives and multiple different projects altogether. But they go steal him. So this is what gets Lucy out of the wasteland and starts beginning this journey. And as we do get to see that, we also get to see Maximus, who's part of this brotherhood, which their entire mission is to salvage old tech and keep peace and order in the wasteland. And we see Maximus get beat up at the very start, which can just with his character and like his dynamic, and he really wants to do the right thing. But you can see that he idolizes the Brotherhood because that's what saved him when there was a giant, another bomb that went off. And we get that side, and we also get the ghoul. The ghoul, which is played by Cooper Howard, I always feel like he has the more tragic. He does, actually. He's the biggest tragedy of this entire show. Because the wastelands turn him into this ghoul. Yes, he doesn't have a nose. He's been around for over 250 years. You know, we see him at the very start when he used to be a movie star. He's kids, his wife. And you don't say a whole lot on his past. It's more just flashbacks and him thinking about it. And it's just, you really feel for him in this world. It's what's turned him into and what he's had to do to survive. Now, the big thing in this wasteland is how people survive, how there's multiple different fractions. It reminded me of that Endgame character. The Endgame character you're talking about is Red Skull. So this isn't Red Skull. This is more beige Red Skull, if you will. But again, even though he doesn't have a nose, CGI looks perfect. He's in majority of the entire season. And the person that does go steal her dad is Moldova. I forgot how to say her name. She goes to steal her. Now, the interesting thing about her character is that she has been around for nearly as long as well, and they don't really explain how she survived for so long in the wasteland. She doesn't look like she's aged a day. It's like 200. I may have missed that, but I remember them explaining how she survived for that long. So this splits up into our three main characters, which is them, and all the side characters. Now, as we go across the episodes, going into it, Lucy finds out she's up, and she shows us into this world. Again, she gets beat up. Weird fish monsters that you find out were actually humans, but they were being tested on, which is weird. We get the dog companion, which a little bit rough at the start, what happens to him, but he gets to survive this entire time with it. Thank God. And in episode one, we get a little bloody. Episode two, it gets a little bit of action, but you know, it's a good. No, I didn't find any episodes were often too long. Didn't think they were too short. No episode feels like filler. It feels like solid blocks of episodes. All eight episodes feel absolutely solid. I also did like the very small thing of the logo changing, the Fallout logo changing every single episode. And then, you know, Lucy and Hank. We've also got Norm, her little brother. He goes, finds out more about Vault 2 after that. He finds out what happens to the really vault dwellers. And that's basically just a horror episode that happens over in there on why they all died. It's a bloodbath and that. And the whole secret of what's going into Vault 31. He goes on his own mystery. So that's still keeping. So all the tabs, both the flashback, the three main characters, when they do join and when they are apart, it does all very well. And it's funny because it's also every time. When Lucy goes speaks to people who are like, "Oh, vault dwellers, oh, you guys, you have no idea what the real world is," and while you watch it, they don't. When it goes back to the vault, when Lucy's not there, they're naive. But then again, at the same time, they don't know anything differently, and it's just funny to watch in this weird, wonderful world. There's also a partially bit where Maximus. He gets to experience the vault life and he loves it. He doesn't want to leave. Yet this vault, the vault they go to is more of a research vault, which you find out that they get naked, tribute, and smear the ashes of dead people onto them. Yep, and I'm saying that, and that's actually what happens in that episode. And it's just showing you a little bit of thing because Lucy doesn't know what the experiment is on her vault. When they do say, "Oh, what's the experiment for yours?" and she's like, "I have no idea. I have no idea. What are you talking about?" She's so innocent in the whole thing. But as it's going block to block, getting closer and closer to the end, where Lucy does actually go up to Moldova and confronts her Hank. Now, what leads all this is Michael Emerson. He plays Wolzik, this character. He's not in for very long. He's only in for two episodes, and then he dies, gets his head, and it's just a chase for his head, pretty much. It's just funny that because he creates pure cold fusion device that can give you infinite cold fusion into the world, and that's why Amaldiva wanted it so she can restart Los Angeles and give power to it. Whoever has that, because infinite power controls the wasteland. And it gets a little bit dark because you find out the fact that the world they spoke about was going to be the new world, the new city. That got really big, and then Voltec blew it up, which is why Lucy lost her mother, her mother's dead. And you find her at the end of the season, she's turned into not a ghoul, but half dead zombie, which Lucy does shoot and kills her. It's just messed up. So any character besides the main few, don't get used to anybody else because they're all on the chopping board. They're all ready to go. Which leads to this big action set piece, and you just find all the dark things that Hank's done, and the fact that Hank was part of Voltec originally, and the fact that Vault 31, where Lucy's from, is actually the bunch of junior execs that are actually hired that to keep running Vault 3 and 2 together. They have to split Vault 3. It's just bang after thing after another. And as we get to the big grand final, we see that Lucy goes off with the ghoul because the ghoul's chasing Hank because he wants to know where his daughter and his wife is. He's still keeping that in his mind. He wants to know. The mother's probably dead, but the daughter's going to be out there. So he gets away, which he understands why he gets away because the fact that he gets away because he wants to chase him, find out where he's going, because he's going to go to that vault clearly, which we get the final shot of him looking over the wasteland and looking at Vegas, which is going to lead into the new Vegas, which is the iconic Fallout video game, which everybody loves, and the remake is overdue. So there are seeds planted for season two. There's ready for season two. It's prepped. It's primed. We have Lucy's teaming up with the ghoul to go find out what's happened over there, because Lucy knows it's the right thing to do and she wants to get back at her father. We have Maximus, who's now going to be controlling the Brotherhood and Los Angeles because it has power now. So this is where the Brotherhood is going to regain their control over the wasteland. And what's going to happen to Norm, because he found out this deep, dark secret, he can't go back to his own vault and tell everybody else. So he's stuck in there. That's kind of left right there and done. But the aesthetic, the cars, the CGI, it's just really good. And you get so invested in these characters. You really do. And you know what happened next. And yes, even though I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching this, I wanted to see what happened. I wanted to keep going. But in saying that, yes, we just got season one. We're not going to see season two until about 2026, 2027. So if we're going to get 1 year of Last of Us, 1 year of Fallout, 1 year of Last of Us, 1 year of Fallout, that's a win. That is a win, ladies and gentlemen. And again, Fallout proves that the video game curse is done. It's dusted. It's computable. But I would love to know, what did you think of Fallout? What didn't you like? What did you love? Let's chat about it. But Fallout, it just hit all the right parts, and I didn't find myself bored. Seeing the world, the wasteland, the detail, it just shows you what Jonathan Nolan, yes, that Jonathan Nolan, whose brother is Christopher Nolan, what vision he had going into this, between what the world setting visually, and look, both of them, Christopher Nolan doing Oppenheimer, Jonathan Nolan doing Fallout. Let's see what project they do next about an apocalypse, a bomb going off. Love to know it. But they've both done this project, and they've both nailed it out of the park in this sense. Jonathan Nolan did direct 3 to 4 episodes, and, of course, episode one, he's done a fantastic job. I have no doubt Amazon is going to be rolling him up to be get ready for season two. There is no official announcement of season two, but it's going to be coming because we've been seeing absolutely nothing but nines and eights for this show, the same bar as Last of Us. I will probably say I enjoyed Last of Us more. Sorry, I enjoyed Fallout more than opposed to Last of Us. But again, they're both peak and done so well. And if we're going to, and if season two is going to be diving into New Vegas, Fallout fans, you're going to be happy. They're going to come in droves. They're going to get ready for this. There's going to be so much on it. And there's rumors flying around. The reason why they're going to Vegas is to type in to get those fans, and because there could be a remake going on. We do know Fallout 5 is currently in the works. But you tell me, what do you want to see in season two of Fallout? I'm always let's chat about it. And ladies and gentlemen, that is my review for Fallout season one that's just come out. It is fantastic. Again, we are in prime television at the moment with what we're getting right now. Fallout, The Boys Around the Corner, X-Men 97. It's just good time for TV. And you can't, don't sleep on this show, guys. You'll be missing out something big. Yes, they're long episodes, but it's hell worth it. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for everyone coming past this episode. And until next time, happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.